going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out late on this Saturday evening or early Sunday morning. You could be watching and listening just before kickoff on Sunday. Week 14, finally here. This is what it's all come down to, fantasy football playoff time. Hopefully you got your hands above your head, your feet up. You're enjoying that bye week. If you're watching or listening, you're probably still alive in your fantasy football season. So hopefully you are. For those who don't have playoffs until next week, I mean, that probably means you're playing fantasy football playoffs week 17. And if so, give your head a shake, pal, as my buddy Pat Mayo says all the time. Do not play fantasy football playoffs up until week 17. It's a crapshoot. The year has been crazy enough. Why would you do that to yourself? Don't do it. Maybe your season's done, unfortunately. I have some picks and some props. Hopefully they're as strong as last week and can provide some winners. And if you have any starter sit questions, please leave them in the YouTube section. Also, like, subscribe if you haven't already to our FTN Network YouTube page. But if you do have a starter sit question, I understand that you could have a very puzzling decision to be made. If you leave the comment on the YouTube page, I'll get to them. I'll take a look before kickoff. I'll make sure that I get to all those questions. You can DM me at Chris Meany, but you're better off tagging me. I have a better chance of seeing that. You could also email me, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. So any starter sit questions, make sure you leave them in the comment section, and I will get to them because I know that it is very important for everybody out there. First week of playoff time, you want to advance, and I want you to advance as well. Nothing would make me happier than to hopefully make the right call, help you at least make the call, and be on your way. This is what I'm here for, to try to help out. This is episode 18 of Mean Streets, the Peyton Manning episode, one of the best to wear 1-8 in the NFL. AJ Green also wears 18 in the NFL. Used to be one of the greats. I think he could go down as, from a four-year stretch, he was one of the better wide receivers in football. I wonder what number he'll wear in the CFL next year. Jeremy Maclin also wore 18 in the NFL, one of my faves. These pretzels are Maclin me thirsty. Daryl Strawberry wore 1-8 around the diamond, four-time World Series champ. Moises Alou, Joe Morgan. Phil Jackson wore 14 on the hardcore. Denny Savard and Serge Savard also wore 18 on the ice. It's funny, Denny Savard has actually come up because, I'll be honest, I'm a little lost on Saturday evenings without hockey. I'm a huge hockey guy. Yeah, I get the college basketball and the college football. It's fun. I need some hockey in my life, and hopefully we'll have that. You know, there's some reports surfacing that we could see puck drop right around mid-January, so maybe potentially a month away. But last week I tweeted what my Saturday nights were like, and I tweeted three old-school VCR or VHS's, geez, man, it's been a long time, VHS videos, and one was 50 great goals. I don't even have a VCR. I had to go and purchase one secondhand so I can watch some hockey on Saturday nights. But one of my guys, Derek Van Riper from The Athletic, great follow, a fantastic guy, and he does some really good work over at The Athletic. If you're not already following him, just check it out, especially if you're a big baseball fan. But he had tweeted back at me and said that he broke his parents' VCR from just rewinding the Denny Savard spinoramas. Well, he almost broke it. And I thought it was hilarious that he said that because I did break, well, I blame it on my uncle, my grandparents' VCR from just slamming the rewind button all the time. There was this video or this board game. I forget what it was called. I think it was like Hockey Night in Canada, of course, Canadian in me. But if you landed on a space, you play the videotape, and it would, you know, be teed up for a goal, a save, or a penalty. And if, you know, it was a penalty or a save, you had to go back a couple spots. If it was a goal, you jumped up and you were rewarded. But I was nonstop rewind on Denny Savard's spinorama goals because, I mean, I'd never seen anything like it. I was a big hockey fan. I thought it was great. You know, I grew up in a Habs house, so, you know, Denny Savard was, he meant a lot to, you know, people in my family because he scored a few nice goals with the Habs, but known as being a Blackhawk, and I just don't see anybody do that these days. I mean, current Blackhawk, Patrick Kane, a little bit of that spinorama. Usually he passes it off, but Denny Savard's shout out here on episode 18 of Mean Streets. All right, let's get after it. We're 5 minutes in already. Jeez, wasting all your time. Week 14 of the NFL season get some picks, some props, a few DFS plays, going to run through the news, notes, and injuries as well. But just got a couple housekeeping items I wanted to get off the top here. This is the second episode today of Mean Streets. Had a very special episode earlier today. You can check that out on our YouTube page. I brought in Rob Kaufman, who is a two-time DraftKings Millionaire Maker champ. That's right. Not once, but twice. And he's played a lot of DFS. He knows what he's talking about. It's not his everyday job. He's a fitness guy. He owns his own company. But he joined me on the show earlier today just to talk about his win last week. He on the two-game Monday slate, he won $1 million. He left like $6,000 on the table. It's really tough when you're playing DraftKings and FanDuel and you're putting together lineups to leave over 1,000, I find. I always want to upgrade. And he didn't upgrade to any of the three Pittsburgh wide receivers that he could have done, that he could have upgraded to. So he joined me on the show to talk about his process and how he goes about putting together his lineup. So if you're new to DFS, go check it out. It's about a 20-25 minute show. He had a couple little sneaky plays for week 14 of the NFL season. I have a couple for you too on this show that we'll get to a little bit later on. But I just wanted to give another shout out to Rob Kaufman. So I thank him for coming on the show and giving us the opportunity. And, he knows what he's doing, right? Galaxy brain to leave $6,000 off the table. Good for him. I'm not jealous at all. A couple other things, Prize Picks videos coming at you hot and heavy over at our FTN YouTube page. Use the promo code FTN, 100% first deposit match of up to $100. We have free Prize Picks every single day, Monday to Friday, even dive into it on weekends. College sports, NBA is back now, NHL soon, MLB soon, but NFL picks, and everyone's been red hot with these props and picks. So a free Prize Picks video I recorded today. Check it out on our YouTube page if you're looking for just to have a little bit of extra fun on your Sunday, a few Prize Picks to consider. One more thing, the NBA package. So Friday night was the very first night of NBA DFS and NBA preseason. And I've been telling you guys that the FTN crew is absolutely lit. I mean, I'm not just saying that because I work there. Honestly, I wouldn't just talk up these guys if I didn't think they were good. Our guy, Kawhisenberg DFS, this dude is an absolute baller. He won $25,000 last night. He won $25,000 last night. He took it down. He is part of plenty of shows that we're going to be doing over at FTNDaily.com. Preseason streams have already begun, and he did the second one this evening with our guy, Fast Eddie Fear. So it's Fast Eddie Fear on Twitter and Kawhisenberg DFS on Twitter. Zach Graham, who I'm going to have on this show next week to do some NBA previews. I cannot wait. $25,000 he won on Friday night. Unbelievable stuff from him. So we have a bit of a promotion going on at ftndaily.com/pricing. You'll see it, but you see here on the board, NBA preseason daily stream with Fast Eddie Fear and Kawhisenberg DFS. Kawhisenberg, I just love it. It's great. NBA Platinum, $219. It's the best deal. It's not going to be cheaper than this all year, guaranteed. It expires on Monday, though. So starting Monday, it's $49 per month and $399 for the full season. That's NBA Platinum $249. So you're saving money here if you want to get into NBA DFS. You're going to get NBA preseason. You're going to get NBA regular season. And you're going to get college basketball. And I'm telling you, the college basketball crew also just as good. A lot of screenshots. We had a lot of fun in the Discord chat last night with Kweisenberg's big W. And we also had FTN sub come second and take home some cash as well. So it was a great first day. It's just preseason. I can't wait to dive in myself and start playing some NBA DFS. So check that out. I'm telling you right now, this is a good deal. It expires on Monday. So if you want to get in on it now. Shout out to Zach Graham for the big takedown on night one of NBA preseason. Okay, 11 minutes in, let's get to some football, shall we? Week 14 started off with a Mike Breen bang! Cam Akers, 29 carries, 171 rushing yards, the most from a rookie this season. Two catches for 23 yards. His props, by the way, and I know I don't do a show every day. I will be soon, but I'm telling you, if you don't have a subscription over at ftmbets.com under the NFL umbrella, I don't know what you're waiting for. We were all over his rushing prop at 52.5. We were all over his 4.5 receiving yard prop. Cam Akers is here to stay. And it makes me feel good because I touted this guy all year on this show. And I'll be honest, I've drafted him in 3 or 4 spots. And I only made the playoffs in one of them. When you spend a 4th or 5th round pick on a guy who really doesn't touch the football until week 13, you're screwed. If you held on this long and you made the playoffs, or you picked him up or you stashed him like we've talked about on this show, if you're feeling really good and comfortable in your playoff spot, you were able to do something like that. If you were fighting for your playoff lives, you weren't able to pick up a guy like Cam Akers. But hopefully you held on and you have Cam Akers and you're going to be able to make a run here. I think he's a borderline top 12 running back the rest of the way. If there wasn't Henderson or Brown in that backfield, I'd have him as a top 5 running back. He's that good. The Rams are that good at running the football. You see how the personnel, they run the 2 tight ends. Robert Woods is a phenomenal blocker. Cooper Kupp is a great blocker as well. I don't know, man. It's frustrating that Sean McVay waited this long, but I mean, he's a smart guy. He knows what the hell he's doing. I'll tell you that. He's one of my favorite coaches in the NFL to listen to. I love the way that he speaks and he breaks down games. Maybe he was just, you know, easing the rookie into a heavy workload here down the stretch. I mean, the Rams are going to be a playoff team and they're going to need Cam Akers. And he's the most talented running back on that team. We've been talking about that for weeks. And that's why it's so frustrating. I wonder if for those who had the first pick in dynasty leagues, like rookie onlys, and everyone was like Clyde Edwards-Helaire 101, Clyde Edwards-Helaire 101. Myself, I'll admit, I was Clyde Edwards-Helaire 101, but I just wonder if, and I don't want to overrate anything, and it's just been 2 good games, but I wonder if he would be 101 right now. If a rookie draft started right now, knowing that Damian Williams is going to be back next year, and Damian Williams is whatever, he's going to be back, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire looks good, he's not touching the ball all that much, which is a little frustrating. Last week was awful. It wasn't on him. I mean, Andy Reid labeled him active, and he didn't touch the field, so it was a big blow. He is going to play this week, and he'll be hard to trust, but I think he's a top 20 running back this week. But the one comment that pissed me off is how he would be like Brian Westbrook. When you hear things like that, everyone just goes nuts. I mean, Brian Westbrook was a stud under Andy Reid in Philadelphia, a Hall of Fame running back, an absolute stud. He's got a long way to go if he wants to be like Brian Westbrook. I'm still waiting to see it. News, notes, and injuries. Let's get into it. Miles Gaskin, the biggest news of the week. This just came down hours ago. I had him as a prop. I had his over receiving yards. I had his over catches. I mean, if you bet that early, you know, you get the void. He's not going to play. But this is a big blow in just terms of fantasy land. We just got him back last week, and he got a ton of work. And I liked him this week against KC. He's out. Savon Ahmad is out. Matt Breida is out. So that leaves a backfield of DeAndre Washington and Lynn Bowden, who had 4 grabs in his very last game. I on FTNFantasy.com, I wrote the stats, and I always write them on Mondays and Tuesdays, stats to know. We're running out of time, stats to know. But DeAndre Washington that week with no Gaskin, he finished with 32 snaps, 47% of the snaps compared to 23 snaps from Matt Breida and 33%. Now, no Breida, no Ahmad, like I mentioned. So Washington, I think, is going to be a guy that's probably flirting with 70% of the snaps. You can run on KC. Now, Washington's not all that great, but he did finish that game with more carries, rushing yards, red zone carries, and targets than Breida. And Breida played 11 of the first 14 snaps in that game. So they quickly made that change. They acquired this guy at the deadline. Clearly, they see something in him. We can have some fun with the revenge, all that stuff. But, you know, you could be in a situation where you have to start DeAndre Washington this week. And I'll take a look at my running back rankings right now. Again, can be found at ftnfantasy.com for all of the rankings. I have Washington as RB26. I have him just behind Mostert and Sanders and Edwards-Helaire, Giovanni Bernard, Dobbins, Melvin Gordon, and DeAndre Swift, Kenny Drake. We're getting into the good guys now. I have him just ahead of JD McKissick, Kareem Hunt, Duke Johnson, Nyheim Hines, Devin Singletary, and Peyton Barber, who, by the way, I have to start. Who's the worst player you're starting this week? Leave that in the comment section. I'd like to feel better about some of my teams. I guarantee you, none of them are worse than Peyton Barber. I am starting Lynn Bowden in a league. It's a deep league, 16 teams, PPR. I'm playing him in a flex spot. I think he could be interesting in DFS, but know that you could easily take the zero. They're going to be playing from behind, most likely. Yeah, you can catch a few balls out of the backfield. I don't think he's going to be a big player on the ground. He had one carry in that game where Washington had the 32 snaps. He had one carry for 11 yards, but he caught four balls for 41 yards. So he may catch four or five balls this week. It's very, very possible. Other news notes and injuries here. CMC looking doubtful is a big blow. Mike Davis had 30 catches in his first four games without CMC. He only has 14 in his last four games, but no DJ Moore. So I really like the 3.5 catch prop for Mike Davis. And you're playing him. You're just going to play him. I was able to pick him up in one of my leagues. It's a competitive league, too. It's a 10-team league. Maybe that's why he was on the waiver wire. But that's another guy that you just don't be dropping these next men up, guys. Drives me nuts. Antonio Gibson, out. Peyton Barber, in. Almost just threw up in my mouth. David Johnson, out. Duke Johnson, 6 catches last game. Been on record plenty of times saying I don't think Duke is a great running back. But he's going to be a player in the passing attack. No Will Fuller, no Randall Cobb. He's going to catch a few balls. DeAndre Swift looking like he is going to be in. I just gave you his ranking. I would play him. I don't view him as a top 12. Normally I would. You know, if he wasn't coming off a concussion up against the Green Bay Packers, I'd have this guy as a lock and loaded top 12, maybe top 10 running back. I think he's going to be getting just 50% of the snaps, just over 50%. I think he catches a few balls out of the backfield. I think you have to play him. Depends on your matchups. Josh Jacobs is expected to play. I'm a little bit surprised to see this, although Jacobs isn't a guy that's practiced a lot this season. So not overly surprised, I guess, but when I did read this morning, I just was double checking and I was thinking, oh, Josh Jacobs, he's unlikely going to play. And then I just hit the Twitter machine and did a little research and looks like he's going to play. I think you have to play him. Where do I have him ranked? RB12. I got some respect for him. I think you play him in a high total game. It's like 52.5 against the Colts. I think you have to play him. I got him just behind Taylor and Zeke, ahead of Connor, Gallman, Mike Davis. I understand if you're a little hesitant to play him as a Jacobs owner. He has been hit or miss. He's been very miss in games where they've been down. But I think this game will be competitive. I think they'll hang around. And he's a warrior, man. Jacobs doesn't play a whole lot. I think he's going to play, and I think he's a top 12 running back. I would play him. Kenny Drake, questionable. I think he's going to play too. Frank Gore, likely. So there goes my Ty Johnson in the FTN season league. I have both guys. I guess I'll play Gore over Johnson. Neither of them are great. It's gross. Justin Jackson, activated from IR, so maybe he gets a few more touches. You're not playing him, but I just wanted to bring him up. You never know. People may have been playing Kalen Ballage in deep, deep, deep leagues, and I would just look elsewhere if that was the case. Alexander Mattison is ruled out. Julio Jones is out. DJ Moore, as I mentioned, out. Kenny Golladay, out. Denzel Mims, out. Jamison Crowder could potentially be out as well. This guy is basically a Band-Aid when he plays well, especially when Sam Darnold is his quarterback. But I don't know. If he's active, I would play him. Because I like the matchup. They're 14.5 point dogs here. They're going to have to throw the football against Seattle. You can throw the football against the Seahawks. They've been a little bit of a better defense lately, but they also haven't played all that great of teams lately. The Giants, they lost to the Eagles before that, but they have gotten some guys back in their secondary. They're a better defense than they showed over the first few weeks, but Crowder's a risky play. I just feel like if he's active, he's good to go and he's playing. But if he isn't playing, Rashad Perriman is a borderline top 30 wide receiver just on pure volume alone. Like, who else is catching passes there for the Jets? Ty Johnson and Rashad Perriman. T. Higgins is questionable. I think he suits up. Jonnu Smith is going to return. He's in. He's a risky play. This is a high total game as well. It's the tight end position. I have him ranked. Let me go check here quickly. I should have had this ready to go for you guys. I have him as tight end 16. I'd play Ebron, Fant, Hurst over him. I really like Cole Kmet, but I'd play Jonnu over him in the high total game and against the Jags, but it's really risky. The reason I lean that way is I just think there are going to be a lot of points scored in that game. Kyle Rudolph is doubtful. Could see Irv Smith come back. He's questionable. Tyler Eifert, questionable. Austin Hooper, neck injury, questionable. If you're a Hooper guy, I'd be looking for another option. Cole Kmet is one of those. He could be hanging around the waiver wire. You don't want to risk it on a Monday. And Hooper hasn't really done anything anyways this year. Sticking with the Browns, Kadarius Hodge is ruled out and Denzel Ward out again as well. Daniel Jones looks like he's going to be in. That's great news for the Giants and Sterling Shepard. His 4.5 catch prop is plus money currently. He has 6 grabs in every single game but one with Daniel Jones. Phillip Rivers likely in, dealing with a toe injury. Apparently the toe's feeling good, so could see a few rushing attempts from Phillip Rivers. Psych. Zane Gonzalez, some kicker news. He's out. Don't really touch on kickers too often, but it's got to double check to make sure you're not rocking Zane Gonzalez. And you could have been, because Arizona's got that high tempo, high powered offense, not lately, but he was a decent kicker for a little bit there. Mike Nugent is in. Wouldn't pick up Nugent. I'd look elsewhere. Picks and props. Week 14. Week 13 was a great week. Not going to lie. It was lucky week 13. Things worked out for me. It's not always going to be like this. Hopefully it's a trend and I can build off this, but I mean, just quickly, things just worked out in week 13. I had a couple people reach out and I saw some screenshots, and honestly, I mean, that makes my day. That's honestly what I'm here for. Had the Colts by 3. I did not get Seattle. My goodness. 10-point favorites and they lost. That was a brutal pick by me. And I even teased them. It's the only game I got wrong in the teaser. -3, I teased them down and they lost. Washington +8.5. I said I didn't have the stones to pick them on the money line, but if there was an upset, it was that one. Washington +8.5. The Saints, the Rams, and the Buffalo Bills hit on all the unders. Miami, Cincy, Washington, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Atlanta. That's 2 out of the last 3 games the Saints have played to the under. And they would have had the under probably against the Broncos too if they had a quarterback. They didn't have a quarterback. And he moved the ball, and the Saints just got some garbage time points and, you know, didn't get the under. But I thought about the Philly under. Spoiler alert, I don't have that on my picks. But I thought about the under there this week, too, just because both quarterbacks are going to be running around a little bit. It's close to that number. But I think, you know, Saints, as long as Hill's in there and as good as that defense is playing, the under's just definitely been hitting a lot lately. Parlay, KC, Miami, Indy, New Orleans got that one. Over on the props, Jonathan Taylor, 48.5, got that one. Had to sweat that one out. Honestly, it was a little uneasy just because he wasn't touching the ball. But he started to towards the end of the game. Allen Robinson got that catch on the final drive. We were lucky there to get that one. Aaron Rodgers, over 2.5 passing touchdowns. I said that one felt like a lock against the Eagles. This guy's just throwing 3 every game. That was plus money. Robert Woods, 62.5 receiving yards. And then Tyreek Hill. Felt like it was a little burn there. And, you know, I had enough luck going my way where, you know, I couldn't get it all. So Tyreek Hill over 73.5 receiving yards. He had a touchdown. He didn't know that he had it. And, you know, they kicked it away before they could review it and see it. If they threw the challenge, they would have saw that he had a touchdown. He would have had the over there. And there was another a hold. I think it was a Bush League call. I thought the call was weak. And I'm not just saying that because I had the over. But a decent week. It's forgotten about. Let's move on and let's try to get some winners for you this week. So we'll start with the props and a couple guys here that I used last week. I'm going right back to them. Jonathan Taylor, 52.5 rushing yards, only up 4 more yards from last week. I'm all in on Jonathan Taylor this week, guys. 2.5 catches is plus money for him. 13.5 fantasy points, DraftKings Sportsbook. That's the prop. I take the over there as well. My guy, Elliot Chris, who is the co-host of To The Window, it is one of the best shows I've ever watched. It is full of amazing information. All 3 of those guys have been crushing it over at ftmbets.com. You just get so much out of that show. It's phenomenal. And I you know, Elliot talked to me about, as we were chatting off to the side, and I'd watch the show and I asked him a couple questions. And, you know, I love these kind of props. And I only starting now to get into them. I hadn't really seen them before. And Elliot hit this a couple weeks ago. It was like the most receiving yards for Sunday, Tyreek Hill. He had that, I believe, maybe like 10 to 1 or something ridiculous. And then he had Patrick Mahomes, most passing yards. Jonathan Taylor to lead Sunday only, in rushing yards is 70 to 1. 70 to 1. That's crazy. I had to take a double take. 70 to 1? Are you kidding me? That's awesome. To The Window. Watch the show. But all in on Jonathan Taylor here, over 52.5. You know, like I said, this is only up 4 yards than last week. Ty Johnson, Josh Adams for the Jets combined for 178 rushing yards against Las Vegas last week. They can't stop anybody, including the run game. Allen Robinson, I'll just always take this over 5.5. I just get in on it every time. The Texans have 7 defensive players on IR. Their best corner, Bradley Roby, is suspended for the season. That leaves Vernon Hargraves to guard Allen Robinson. He has a 75% catch rate using our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. And as you use that tool, you will see Allen Robinson has the second best matchup going this week, over 5.5. Trubisky's been leaning on him. TJ Hawkinson, I've had TJ Hawkinson on a few props this week. I like him. I keep hammering the over 4.5 catches, and I just get it. I sweat it out. I think the yardage is a better play here. Over the last 3 games, he's averaging 7.3 targets, 5.3 catches, and 80.3 receiving yards. This is a tougher spot, of course, but, you know, I think that Jaire Alexander will be on Marvin Jones, and, you know, Stafford's just been chucking so much. I think Swift coming back this week helps them a little bit in the run game. This is a high total, 55.5 the last time I checked. I don't know if it gets there, but Matthew Stafford's going to have to throw. I mean, there's so many holes on this Detroit defense that Aaron Rodgers is just going to be able to score 3 or 4 touchdowns. They're definitely getting to 30 points. They have the highest team implied total at 32. So there's going to be a lot of chucking in this game. So I'm leaning with the receiving yard prop, but I really do like that 4.5 yard prop as well. I had Myles Gaskin in here. I had to get my guy George Three Putts to make a couple changes for me with Gaskin getting placed on the COVID-19 list. So I plugged in another prop that I had over at FTNBets.com, and it was DK Metcalf over 78.5. I'm surprised this one is as low as it is. I could see it getting up to 82.5. It's the Jets. I don't really need to explain it. They just can't play defense. I would assume that they'll, you know, I've said this multiple times. There's some truth to this. I don't have any stats to back it up. But when a coach is fired or a defensive coach, you just sometimes the team just comes together. And after that loss to the Raiders, they blitzed and they got beat over the top twice. I mean, the Aguilar is wide open and it was a ball thrown too far from Carr. And then he hit Ruggs on the final play there. And this Jets team is just an absolute mess. And, you know, maybe they'll pick it up a little bit on defense with, you know, Greg Williams being fired, but they just don't have the personnel to stop DK Metcalf. So I'm going to take that over 78.5. This guy only needs 1-2 catches to get there. So I'm in on DK Metcalf over 78.5. And I'd consider maybe some touchdown props on him as well. Calvin Ridley's the last guy at 5.5 receptions. This one, when I got it, was minus 110. I would bet it all the way up to minus 150. I wouldn't go any further than that. You could maybe get cute if you want. You can get an alternate line, potentially. Whatever books you look at, maybe over 6.5 could be plus money. I don't really like to get involved over 6.5, but 5.5, I think, is a decent number here. I jumped on it right away when I saw Julio Jones was ruled out, and I think the books were a little bit slow to make adjustments. Another reason to follow FTN Alerts on Twitter, because you get that, you see it right away. When we make the bet, you see it. It's up there, and you just want to be able to jump on it, because things change so quickly in the NFL. So using our split tool over at FTNFantasy.com, you will see that in games without Julio Jones, it's only been 4 of them, believe it or not. Julio Jones seems to be questionable every single week, but since 2018, there's only been 4 of them, and his receiving yards have gone from 61 per game to 96, so 35 more. Receptions have gone from 4 to 6.7, so we would get that prop according to the average. His targets have gone from 6 to 10.5. His DraftKings points have gone from 15 to 19, and his FanDuel points have gone from 12 to 14. So pluses across the board, besides the touchdowns. The receiving touchdowns have gone down, and it makes sense that he would get more targets and, you know, maybe he'd get some double teams in there or whatnot. So Calvin Ridley is an interesting guy moving forward in dynasty leagues without Julio because he garners a lot of attention, but I like this prop if you can get it at minus 150. Over to the picks. I'm not going to lie. I actually struggled with a couple of these picks, mostly on the money line. The Chiefs -7, I like. I think this is going to be a very tight game. As you see, I have the under there. I honestly think I'll sweat this one out. I think the play is to tease it. As you see, you know, I'm jumping all over here with the picks, but the board is up and if you're listening, you know, audio style, my apologies, but the teaser I have here, I just feel like KC, New Orleans, Tennessee, Green Bay. I feel like they're all in really good spots, but they're hovering around that touchdown mark. And I like teasers. Say what you want about them. I don't know if I've given you guys a winner yet, but I have this 6.5-point teaser with Seattle teased down to -7. The Saints just to win. The Chiefs just to win. The Packers to win by a point. You could just roll with those four right there, and I feel great about it. I get a little greedy when I come in here with 6- and 7-game teasers. I think that's why I haven't won any, and last week getting the one wrong in Seattle. You could get away from the totals, but I teased down Tennessee, Jacksonville to 46, and I teased down Minnesota and Tampa Bay to 46.5. I like the over in both of those spots, but if you want a safer play, get rid of the totals, roll with Seattle, New Orleans, KC, and Green Bay. I think Miami can hang around. I think their defense is good enough. Brian Flores, from the Patriots staff, knows Patrick Mahomes well, was on the Pats when they went into KC and beat them en route to the Super Bowl. The defense has played great all year. The corners are solid. They can generate some pressure. They make things tough for the quarterbacks. But as I said multiple times, anytime that I can take the Chiefs just to win by a touchdown, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and who's the other guy? Oh, yeah, Tyreek Hill. All these guys are unreal. It can't be stopped. So until they get stopped, I'm going to take them. But I will say this. Why teasing is maybe a good play here, even though I'm giving you the -7. The Dolphins have played teams tight, and the Chiefs have played a lot of one-score games recently. So I think this game will actually be a lot closer than people expect, but I just don't feel like Miami does a whole lot. Like, are they scoring 20 points? Are they scoring much more than 20 points with Tua under center? Don't trust him to throw the ball. I know he threw 39 passes last week, was the most he's thrown all season. I just don't trust it. If KC gets to 30, it's over. Game's over. Get the spread. Green Bay, -7.5. I believe this one could jump up. I saw in some spots 8, 8.5, but using our free prop shop parlay calculator, you can get the best odds possible. You can still get Green Bay -7.5. I think they win by 10 points. I don't think it matters. I just don't feel like Detroit can do enough to keep up. Maybe a garbage time where it's not a 10-point win, but I feel good about Green Bay 7.5. Colts to win by a field goal. This is going to be a tough game. I think Vegas bounces back. There was a big win from them last week. I think they play up to their competition. They beat KC. They almost beat them a second time. They beat the Saints. They hung around for most of the game against the Bucks. And then they lose to the Falcons, and then they really should have lost to the Jets last week. But my biggest thing here with the Colts is they can really generate some pressure. They can get after the quarterback. The offensive line, I think, has some issues right now in Vegas, Las Vegas, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Las Vegas Raiders. But I just feel like you're going to be able to generate some pressure, and Carr hasn't been all that accurate. He's been making some mistakes and turning the ball over. This is a big game for both teams. It's going to be a very entertaining game to watch. And as you see, I have the over there. Las Vegas, they just can't seem to stop anybody right now. Through the air, on the ground, it's the same old defense. I like what Mayock and Gruden have done through the draft over the past couple of years, but it's the same leaky defense, and that's going to be their issue. Why I don't think that they make the playoffs, but this is a big step for them to make the playoffs if they can win this game, and they got Miami in a couple weeks too. So they're not out of it. That was a big W for them last week, but I think overall the Colts are the better team. Over on the money line, I got the Bills, Giants, and Cowboys. I got two NFC East teams. That's probably why I feel so uneasy about the money line picks, but I like the Giants. They're playing really good defense. They really are playing good defense. Got to give a lot of credit to Joe Judge. You get Jones back, and Arizona has just, they've been spiraling over the past couple weeks. Kyler Murray is not healthy. He's not running the football. It's very clear when you watch them play. That's why Kenyon Drake leads the league in red zone carries and goal line carries since week 11, and Kyler Murray only has 2 carries inside the 5. In the first 8 weeks of the season, it was all Kyler stealing all the goal line touches. He was running it in. He's not running right now. He's dumping it off to Drake, who has more targets, more catches in the last 3 weeks than he did in his first 8 games of the season. So it's writing on the wall. It's a close game. I'm surprised, honestly, that the Giants aren't favored. They're home dogs. I'm going to jump on that. I think they win in a tight one. The Cowboys, why would I pick the Dallas Cowboys? Honestly, I usually stay away from two garbage teams, but they're better than the Bengals. and this is all narrative for me. I'm honestly having some fun with this one. Andy Dalton against his former squad. I think he does enough to get it done, and they beat the Cincinnati Bengals. If it was Joe Burrow on the other side, I would just completely stay away from this game. This is not for anybody, everybody. You don't have to bet just for the sake of betting moneyline picks. I just didn't want to come in here with like KC moneyline, Saints moneyline, Titans, Green Bay, Tampa Bay moneyline. There's no real odds this week. There's a couple coin flip games between the, you know, the Browns and the Ravens and the Broncos and the Panthers. And this is another one, you know, Cowboys and Bengals and Giants and in Zona. So I'm going Giants. I'm going Cowboys. And I think Buffalo is the better team right now than Pittsburgh. I think that Mike Tomlin can get his team going and they can figure things out. But a lot has just happened with this team over the past couple weeks. I mean, this is their third game in 12 days. Third game in 12 days. They probably had more games than practices over the past 12 days. They've had games pushed back. COVID has run through the NFL and through their team. The Bills are just a better football team right now. My one fear, man, that Steelers team can generate some pressure. They can get after you. And the Buffalo offensive line is not fantastic. And when you pressure Josh Allen, he makes mistakes. But I'd like the defense where it's going lately in Buffalo. And I think they'll be able to get those underneath throws with Cole Beasley. I think he's in for another solid game. Give me the Bills, who actually opened up as home dogs. And now they're favored by 2.5, depending on where you look. And the final game that I didn't talk about, the over Tennessee and Jacksonville, 52.5. I think there's a lot of points. Both of these defenses stink. They're both awful. They're both in the top 7 in passing yards allowed per game. They're both in the top 10 in touchdowns allowed per game. Fantasy points to quarterbacks, wide receivers, you name it. All of them. Explosive plays. They're not good defensively. And Mike Glennon has taken the second most deep shots over the past couple weeks. So he could push the pace. It's been great, but he can push the pace and maybe he can score some points and get that number. 52.5, Colts, Las Vegas, over 51. KC, Miami, under 50.5. All right, so those are the picks. Those are the props. As you see there, the parlay, KC, New Orleans, Tennessee, Green Bay, Tampa. Usually come in here with 4 out of that fifth for just a little bit more juice, plus 275. And then the 6.5-point teaser, plus 500. But like I said, you want to maybe scale back on the two overs, but I like him, or I wouldn't have given him to you. A couple DFS plays before I get out of here. I did want to touch on Jalen Hurts as an Eagles guy and a few questions on Twitter asking me what I expect from him. I actually think he's going to be okay. And by okay, I mean maybe he throws a touchdown or two and gets 250 total yards on the ground and through the air. I think he's going to be okay. Okay. This is his first NFL start, and he has to go up against one of the best defensive units in all of football. But from his game last week, 109 yards, he did throw the pick. He was sacked 3 times, just like Carson Wentz. The sacks are going to happen. The offensive line, I mean, it's not all on Carson Wentz. I think that this is the right call to make the switch at quarterback. I think Doug Peterson probably would have done it a lot earlier. He got, you know, approval from higher ups. Jeffrey Lurie, make the switch if you need to. He made the switch. Beautiful throw on the touchdown pass to Greg Ward, who he targeted the most, by the way, in his 12 attempts. But Greg Ward had the touchdown pass. It was a nice throw. I look at Carson Wentz. He's only completed one pass of at least 30 yards to a wide receiver in his last five games. One pass. One 30-yard pass to a wide receiver in his last 5 games. Jalen Hurts completed 2 passes of at least 30 yards to a wide receiver in 3 drives last week. 3 drives. He hit Jalen Reagor for a 30-yard grab, and he hit Greg Ward in the end zone on a 4th-and-18, and he was on the run. He made a nice throw. The change is needed. Where I think he'll be a decent fantasy quarterback, and I have him ranked as QB16. I'm not suggesting anyone to play him. I think in Superflex leagues, you can play him. In DFS, I mean, you have to be putting in 20-plus lineups to consider him. I would play him with Greg Ward or Dallas Goedert. You know, he ran the ball 5 times for 29 yards. He had 85 yards on 11 attempts before that, 5 yards per attempt, when teams knew that he was going to run, right? Every time he came in, he was running. He wasn't throwing. He only completed 3 passes through his first 9 games. But when he came in, teams knew. They stacked the box, and he still had success running the football. He can run, and he likes to run. So 11 different offensive line combinations are not going to help him. The play calling has been brutal. Miles Sanders hasn't been great either, and I'd be hesitant to start him as well. I have him as RB23, and that's just because I do feel like they'll get him involved a little bit with some RPOs. But my one fear is Hurts is going to run a lot, so take some rushes away from Miles Sanders, and he's probably going to call his own number in the red zone if they do get down there, and I think they will. I think they'll compete. The defense has been good. Two rushing quarterbacks here in Taysom Hill and Jalen Hurts for week 14 of the NFL season. But I just wanted to touch on him a little bit. I think the change is necessary, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. I mean, they drafted him second overall, and Carson Wentz has not been great this season. He's been hesitant, and he just doesn't look confident. So I think the change is needed. I wouldn't take the over on too many Jalen Hurts props. Maybe just his rushing over 38.5. I think he certainly gets there for sure. Okay, one or two FanDuel plays on the way out. I'm in on Justin Herbert this week. He's been brutal the past couple weeks. I think he ran into Bill Belichick last week. This is what Belichick does against rookie quarterbacks. But over the last couple weeks, one touchdown, two fumbles, three interceptions, only 24 fantasy points. This is a much better spot against the Falcons. I'd roll him out in DFS. Recency bias is an absolute thing. It's all about what have you done for me lately. I love Tom Brady this week. I just think it's going to be a great game for him. I think he throws three or four passing touchdowns. Chris Godwin is my favorite. I would have some Mike Evans. I think Antonio Brown gets his first touchdown this week as a member of the Bucs. Of course, I like Aaron Rodgers. I also like Ryan Tannehill as well. You want to come off Derrick Henry. A lot of people are going to have Henry pair up Tannehill with A.J. Brown or Corey Davis, who continues to ball out. But I do like Henry this week because he did have that bad game last week, had the fumble. It was the fewest rushing yards he's had since week 5 and a season low 15 carries. Again, recency bias. I like the Titans all over the place. I just think you should mix and match some of those pieces. They have the second highest team implied total, playing in the second highest game total of the week. Like Montgomery again this week. I liked him last week. Know that he'll be chalky, but if you're a cash game player, you're just new to DFS, you're playing head-to-head contests, smaller double-up contests. Henry is a guy that just, he gets about 70 to 80% of the snaps every single week, 36 targets, 30 catches, ranked third among backs over the last few weeks. His past 8 games, he's had 42 targets. He's the goal line back there. Houston has allowed the second most fantasy points to backs, the second most yards per attempt, and the second most rushing yards per game. And Montgomery has just taken advantage of soft opponents over the past couple weeks. Over 50 fantasy points over his last 2 weeks. This is another nice spot for him. He's priced very cheap, especially over on FanDuel. I like the price tag at 6.6. Giovanni Bernard, don't be afraid to get in on Gio. He's been brutal over the past few weeks as well. Just somebody who, like, I got it written down here. Come on. 7.5 fantasy points or fewer in 4 straight games. Who's playing Gio? Only the people that have watched the Dallas Cowboys play defense this week. Those are the people who are playing Giovanni Bernard. Davante Adams, just play him if you can get him in. Him and Rodgers have just been automatics all year long. Like Tyler Lockett this week, because another guy who has just been very quiet. Lockett has only scored double-digit fantasy points in 3 of his past 10 games. Very boom or bust. The 2 games that he has scored double-digit fantasy points this season before that brutal stretch, 32 and 45. So it's very boomer bust. He'll be lined up against Arthur Mallett this week, a 71% catch rate. So he checks out pretty well over in the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. I actually like Michael Gallup. I think Dalton Gallup, I think that's a sneaky little stack. I know a lot of people may go to Zeke. I think that's a bit of a mistake. I'd have maybe Zeke in 1 or 2 lineups, but Dalton to Gallup, I think that Amari Cooper has the toughest matchup against that, against the secondary, against William Jackson. So that's a tough spot for him. And Gallup is, he actually leads Dallas in targets, air yards, and ADOT over his last 3 games, had the touchdown last week. A tight end sleeper for you. I mentioned him earlier, but Cole Kmet. Kmet, career high 7 targets last week, 5 catches, scored a touchdown. This is a dart throw. He's very, very cheap. I think he's 2.8 or 2.9 on DraftKings. There's a change here in the guard and among tight ends. I mean, Chicago seems to have 1,000 of them, but Jimmy Graham has a 0 in 2 of his past 3 games. Kmet has been running more routes and getting more targets than Jimmy Graham over the past couple weeks. DSTs, I rank them like this: Seattle, Saints, Washington, Baltimore, San Fran, Carolina, and KC. Good luck week 14. Any questions, please leave them in the YouTube section. Reach out at Chris Meaney. I hope you advance, and I hope I have some winners for you this week as well. We'll catch you soon. Good luck. Cheers.